Our last tale of hidden talents is about a kid who discovers he has a flair for the stage, and how one performance would change the summer and maybe even the lives of a bunch of Boy Scouts. That kid was not Wolf Maycutt, but Wolf was profoundly affected by the events in this story. He told it live on stage at a sound effect storytelling event last summer.
When I was 8 years old, I wasn't very popular. You know, no surprise. I was a little chubby, and as a typical 8-year old, I didn't think much about it. I thought maybe it would change someday, and I just didn't worry about it. So I watched a lot of Star Trek and read comic books. My parents had other ideas, and they enrolled me in Cub Scouts. Now, Cub Scouts aren't for everyone, but they were great for me. And that's because my mom was the den mother, and we had cookies, and we had drinks, and we sang songs. And for those of us who were a little competitive, we earned lots of merit badges. And my dad made all of the Pinewood Derby cars for me. So it was a great time. When I turned 11, then I decided to become a scout, because why not? This is awesome. I'm really good at this. And my parents thought it would be fantastic too, because this would be a chance for me to get in with the good kids. Right? Scouts, right? What could be better than scouts? We would all be very disappointed. We joined Troop 120, and I'm convinced to this day that it was a dumping ground for unwanted children. You could kind of tell because the cars would come along, and then they would slow down, sometimes not even stop all the way. The kid would be ejected, and they would take off. Like, yes, 2 hours of freedom. Yeah. So these were not the best kids. If you've read Lord of the Flies, that was like a Disney summer camp compared to this. It was intense. I mean, I did make a friend. Okay, I made one friend. He was the other reject. His name was, fittingly enough, Jimmy Smallwell. He was actually the smallest kid in the troop, so there was the chubby kid and the small kid, and we just tried to stay out of everyone's way. All the young Cro-Magnons, we just tried to hide. And it's not like there wasn't anyone keeping control of this. There was Mr. J, our scoutmaster. He was, you know, in his early 50s, big brown beard, shot through with gray. His breath smelling a little bit acrid, something I would later correspond with whiskey. And he would do an okay job of keeping things under control in the meetings, but as soon as we got out in the woods, there was no keeping any control of these roughnecks. But that's why he had his assistant scoutmaster. They were barely older than some of the scouts themselves. And you know how sometimes you've got people who have just a little bit of power and they really like it a lot? Well, their whole job was to keep us under control and with little punishments. And they were, you know, less the kumbaya and more the spare the rod, spoil the scout. So they had this amazing variety of punishments they would mete out for the smallest thing. Maycutt! No sock garters, 50 push-ups, now! Sometimes you're walking along the parade grounds and you think, oh, have I come across some sort of CrossFit getaway or something? No, it's kids doing what they're forced to do. And the worse you got, the worse the punishments got, and the more creative. You know, if you forgot to salute your scoutmaster, you're doing dishes. If you're late for breakfast, you must need to wake up, so you dunk your head in a bucket of ice-cold water. So, you know, stuff like that. But for the really, really bad act, they kept a special punishment in store. I remember this one time, Jimmy, he was working on his physics merit badge, and he read how heat affects pressure. So he thought he'd do a scientific experiment, you know, reasonably enough. And so he was about to do this experiment. He had his can of bug spray, and he was moving towards the fire. And suddenly from behind him came this call. Smallwell, teapot, breakfast. And he just like, his eyes went wide and he dropped the can on the ground. And then as the enormity of what had just happened rolled over him, he just collapsed in on himself and wandered off into the woods. He would have the rest of the day and most of the night to dread his upcoming performance. Now, if you want to understand why this is so bad, you have to think back to your preteen self. Like, if you ask your youngsters what scares them most, it's not death, it's not taxes, those are adult things. It's public embarrassment. And this was doubly true in our troop, because there are just bands of bullies going around trying to pick anybody up. And the best way not to get bullied is not to get seen. So here was Jimmy the next day. Imagine it's morning, the birds are chirping, it's a beautiful day, 50 scouts are out in parade rest in the grass, the sun glinting off the dew. Up in front of everybody, there's a 3-foot stage made out of wood, and the scoutmasters are talking about what you're going to do over the day. Finally, just as attentions are starting to wander, they all come off and they summon Jimmy up onto the stage. Jimmy, looking smaller than ever, comes up, looks around as if Robin Hood might come out of somewhere and save him, but finally starts. I'm a little teapot.
Louder!
I'm a little teapot.
Do the dance!
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. And the kids would inevitably mumble their way through the song, because that's what we've been doing. That's how we're avoiding attention. The less we do, the less they have to pick out. Here is my handle, and here is my spout. And they would do as little as possible in the dance, too, as if this is somehow less attention-giving when 50 sets of eyes are right on you. And the tittering would begin in the back, and then it would move through, and then there would be laughter. And then, remember, poor Jimmy, he would get more and more flushed and scared, and then where was I in the song? It was really important, something about getting steamed up. And then there would be more laughter because he was confused, and it would just be in this vicious circle, like going round and round and round, and finally he just left the stage in tears, which is what would always happen on this punishment. And it was the worst thing they could come up with. This is what I desperately wanted to avoid as the large child, and it was the absolute worst thing that anyone ever saw. And it worked brilliantly until Dave Taffy. Now, Taffy was one of the older scouters, and he was a jerk, just not to put too fine a point on it. He was one of the heads of the bullies, and nobody liked him, and we just wanted him to go, and eventually he would disappear. We suspected it had something to do with the law, but we had no proof. But before then, there was this one time when he was shaking a younger scouter upside down, trying to see what would come out, and the scoutmaster came up behind him. Taffy, teapot, breakfast. He just looked over, threw him a salute, and sauntered off, and we thought, he just put on a brave face. Until the next morning. Next morning, he comes up. The leadership hasn't even gotten off the stage yet, and he bounds up happily. He takes his scout cap, and he throws it into the crowd. He takes his long, dirty hair and brings it down in front of his hair. And then, affecting his best Axl Rose, goes, I'm a little teapot. I am short and stout. Here is my handle, and here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, you can hear me shout. So tip me over and pour me. There was this long, awkward silence. And then one kid in the back started clapping, and then somebody else started clapping, and then suddenly we were all clapping and cheering. And it was amazing to me, even at the time, because I didn't like Taffy. I thought he was terrible. But what he had done, it seemed so utterly heroic to us. He had taken these punishments from these adults who had all this power over us and had used it indiscriminately over and over again to such effect. He had taken the worst they had, and he had owned it, and he had enjoyed it. Mr. J was no fool. That was the end of the teapot punishment. Taffy had broken it forever. My parents enrolled me in scouting to put me in with the good kids and to teach me something about the world. In their second goal, at least, I think they succeeded. Because there's few things from my childhood I really remember better than Taffy's example. That when you're given something, just go for it. It's so much better. And even more important is that sometimes even a stout little teapot can have their day.